Hello, my name is Jed, and welcome to my Philosophy Corner. The topic of this talk today is on surveillance and power. Now, surveillance is a significant topic of debate in contemporary politics and society. Beginning with the leaks of Edward Snowden, the world was shown the extent of state surveillance for the supposed security of a community. The question concerning surveillance was evident in the 20th century as well, especially regarding what kind of control and power it imposes on people. French philosopher Foucault sought to describe and explore the kind of power surveillance exercises over citizens of a state in his book, Discipline and Punishment. Using the 18th century idea of the panopticon, Foucault highlighted how it became to influence the practices of surveillance in multiple areas of society for means of disciplining and controlling. The core idea behind this panopticon was that if an individual is known to be potentially under the watchful gaze of authority, they will behave according to the rules and regulations of that environment, a sort of self-discipline out of fear of punishment. Think about in your own life, if there's ever been an instance where you were being observed, perhaps by a teacher, a police officer, or even a very obviously placed camera, I would argue that you had felt some sort of stress or pressure to behave in a certain way as to avoid potential punishment. This panopticon constituted a shift of discipline from the body to the mind. The authoritative few, like the government, could optimally observe and control the many through this panopticon. While it can be argued that some of this self-disciplining Foucault describes in his book is still alive in our contemporary era, it could be argued that another shift has occurred, that, with the advent of digital technology, new forms of surveillance are available. In this talk, I'm going to describe for you the ideas with Foucault, with the idea of surveillance, with the panopticon. I'm going to deny the possibility that this panopticon exists in a new format in our advanced digital age. And then I'm also going to argue that now there's a new shift in surveillance, that instead of the few watching the many, we live in what I call a reverse panopticon, where the many can watch the few. Whereas the panopticon and the central idea behind it allowed for the state to control and discipline, a reverse panopticon allows for the citizens of a state to exercise their own power of control and discipline over their state. Arguing with and against Foucault, I'm going to show you how digital technology has given the populations of states observational power to exercise against their respective countries. Before I get into that, let's start with our first point, with Foucault and this panopticon. Now, we need to understand what the panopticon is and how it relates to power, discipline, and punishment. So, I'm going to give you an interpretation that will help you understand how it is that this style of system is able to exercise this kind of power. So the main idea that Foucault examines with this panopticon is the way in which it indirectly forces individuals to self-discipline themselves in an unconscious manner. It's a new and deeper sense of control at that time. So Foucault was interested in how punishment and the threat of such has shifted in history from the physical to the psychological. Whereas before we had a surveillance style of power and control, there was a focus on the physical, of public punishment aimed at disciplining. Often it was something violent and public, such as a public hanging. It was swift and it was physical. It was aimed at using the body as the grounds for control. However, in a more modern technological approach of the 18th century, something changed. The focus shifted to the psychological. Punishment was hidden away from the public, behind closed doors, such as in prisons. The aim was not to punish the body for the crimes, but to gradually change the mind and soul through reforming. To achieve this, the idea of the panopticon came to fruition. So I keep using this word, panopticon. What is that? Well, panopticon is a style of prison in which there is a large guard tower in the center surrounded by a circle of cells. And if you were outside of the guard tower, you would be unable to tell if somebody was there. The prisoners of this prison were always under the potential of being surveyed by the guards, but they had no way to verify such. Since they were unable to know when they were being watched, they must always assume that they are and act accordingly. So Foucault came up with three core elements to explain this power that the Panopticon exercises over the prisoners, and that is through constant, visible, and unverifiable. All of these together carry the weight of the threat of surveillance. These three elements subjugated the prisoners in such a way that they were subconsciously conditioned to self-discipline themselves in an asymmetrical means of observation that ensured control over the minds of the prisoners. This shifted the focus away from force over the body, from observing the behavior in order to constrain the convict's mind. This means of observation for control, but this is for prisons. Why is it important that we're discussing this? Well, this means of observation for control influenced other institutions outside of just prisons, such as schools, barracks, and even hospitals. They inherited this use of constant, visible, and unverifiable surveillance to ensure self-discipline of its own members, not only in an architectural sense, but in its operations. It became the norm of control. Self-disciplining individuals regulate their own behavior. A sense of internalized authority that pushes and self-imposes prevailing norms of institutions. Even in an empirical sense, this power is seen. Multiple studies have been found that when a subject is being observed, or think they're being observed, or even have the illusion that they are being observed, they are more compliant with the rules of the environment they find themselves in. So this social psychological idea of being observed and changing our behavior is something that the Panopticon is able to capitalize on. So those are the ideas surrounding this Panopticon, this visible, constant, and unverifiable threat of observation and the way that it reaches into the mind of an individual and causes them to change themselves. So now that we have a clear understanding of the Panopticon, let's now take these ideas and put them into our modern digital age. As I'm going to be arguing now, while it may seem as though many places in the world exist in a digital panopticon, I'm going to argue that this isn't the case. That I'm going to say that it's missing some of these elements of, say, visibility and perhaps unverifiability. Now, there's two ways that I'm going to do this. First, I'm going to look at things like online activity or data, and CCTV. So let's look at the online activity first. I'm sure most people understand that state surveillance programs of online activity is something apparent in pretty much every country, but they fail to uphold that visibility element of the Panopticon and therefore do not exercise the same control. They also fail somewhat at the unverifiability, as we'll take a look at. So one cannot deny the consistency of these programs. We are constantly under this threat of observation from places such as the National Security Agency in the US. Any online activity that is deemed threatening to the public well-being is instantly flagged and investigated further. However, such programs are not always visible. It is true that we have knowledge of these operations, we are aware of them, but it lacks that direct observation that makes the panoptic style of surveillance effective in self-disciplining. The direct visibility affects one on the subconscious level, which is how it comes to truly affect and condition one's mind and soul as the Panopticon does. Only in extreme cases, such as potential terrorist attacks or large-scale drug operations, could the visibility of these extensive surveillance operations matter. Knowing that such activities are being observed means individuals wishing to engage in such activities, they'll find alternative means, because it's verifiable that that's going to be the case. They can verify that their actions will be monitored, and because of this, alternative means may be taken, rather than self-disciplining. The panoptic subconscious self-disciplining mechanism is not at play. For the average person as well, it would be difficult to say that their online activity is self-disciplined. There are no visible eyes that watch us as to ensure our compliance. And even if there was, it is known, perhaps not by all, that artificial intelligence systems would pick up on any problematic activities, similar to the would-be terrorist or drug dealer. There is no self-discipline, only alternative means of non-compliance, if necessary. For example, we can use a virtual private network, or VPN, and that's going to mask our online activity, making it impossible for these state surveillances to identify and track us. Since the visibility is lacking and the verifiability known, surveillance of our online activity does not constitute this digital panopticon. CCTV networks, too, share this problem of visibility and, in some part, unverifiability. While in the late 20th century, cameras were clearly visible and placed in such a way to be seen, contemporary placement and usage of CCT differs, conjecturally speaking. Typically, cameras are hidden, they're placed away in a corner, and they're colored in such a way as that they are only visible to those that are consciously making that effort. Think about in your own life, when was the last time that you've truly consciously seen a camera anytime you go outside or go into a store? I'm sure some of you, perhaps it's true, but I would argue for a great many, we don't even know that it's happening there. And so, since it doesn't have that element of visibility, it fails at one of the core criteria to be called something panoptic and controlling in a subconscious level, similar to that of our data and online activity. And also on the question of verifiability, I can argue something similar as to the online surveillance, that we are verifiable in our understanding of these CCTVs. If one is to commit a crime or engage in some non-compliance, they can know beforehand that the camera is most likely going to capture that activity. So instead, they may pursue alternative ways, not necessarily self-regulate their behavior. So this lack of visibility, the verifiability, means that CCTV, it doesn't exercise that kind of power the panopticon would. Think about the shift that we've seen with these cameras. Whereas before it was obvious, now it's something a little bit more hidden. Instead of a big box with a red light flashing in front of us, it's a small little black blob in the corner of a room. So, I've denied the possibility for us to exist in a new advanced digital state of the panopticon. And I think this is true for many countries in the world, but not all. Countries that have a more authoritative hold over its citizens, such as, say, Russia or China, I do believe that that could be considered an advanced digital panopticon. But now, let's move on to my third point, in which we see a reversing of this panopticon. So I'm going to argue that we have reversed the direction of observation, and yet still have those core necessary elements to exercise this sort of subconscious control. So I'm going to use the examples of data activism and social media to see how states are now threatened with the possibility of punishment, and they must self-discipline themselves, as well as individuals that take part in things like social media. So our contemporary digital technology has the capability of creating this reverse panopticon, in which the few now are visibly and constantly observing the many. The verifiability is arguably still somewhat known, meaning that this new phenomenon is not wholly panopticon for the few, but still constitutes a shift in the overall social pressure that can cause self-discipline in the way the panopticon operates. Now, an example of this can be seen with the average social media use. Users, or the few, post things online for others, the many, to see. It is something visible, it is something constant, and it is verifiable up to a degree, such as the responses and reactions to the post. And we want those reactions to be something positive. We get little hits of dopamine every time we get some sort of like or approval on our post. And so we're always going to want to try and get more on a very biochemical, psychological level. This means users self-discipline their postings in accordance with this logic. We want that approval. They may wish to engage or behave in such a way as to avoid punishment or not being liked or approved. And so only will post things in such a way that it accomplishes this. Their mind and soul are subconsciously regulated to a degree, a reverse panopticon. Now, this logic of the few behaving for the constant, visible, and possibly unverifiable many can be taken and applied to states as well. With the continued and widespread use of social media and smartphone cameras, the tables of social power for compliance have turned. States now can feel the threat of punishment from their citizens, as now any actions states engage in can be recorded and posted online. An excellent and horrible example of this was the death of George Floyd at the hands of police officers, and this was caught on camera. Now, it could be argued that if people did not use their cameras to record this, that the state and the police officers who represent the state would not have been held accountable for these atrocious actions. This use of the social media and camera phones is what's known as data activism, and groups such as Black Lives Matter use it to expose things like police brutality and racist practices the state evidently supports, either directly or through negligence. The use of these techniques has forced governments to revise their practices for fear of punishment by the populace, such as not getting any votes to stay in office. So this example shows how digital technology and data activism provides a way for citizens to ensure compliance from the government. The government, the few, needs to self-discipline itself in fear of punishment from the constant, visible, and somewhat unverifiable digital gaze of its citizens, the many. A reverse panopticon. So in this talk, I've introduced to you the ideas of Foucault and the panopticon, this visible, unverifiable, and constant threat of surveillance that causes individuals to self-discipline themselves to avoid punishment. It is a style of control that seeks to incept into the mind of somebody and change who they are and how they behave. I've taken those ideas and I've put them in relation to our contemporary era and shown how we don't perhaps live in an advanced digital panopticon, as some people may argue, at least in many countries, not all. And finally, I've taken the panopticon and reversed it and shown that through our new technologies, perhaps now the many have power over the few, for better or for worse. Only time will tell. So what do you think? Are we now still under the watchful gaze of the government and we must change who we are and how we behave to avoid punishment? Or perhaps now is it the governments that are feeling this pressure from the citizens? And even when it comes to us individually with our social media use, do you feel as though you feel a kind of pressure to self-regulate and self-discipline yourself in order to gain some sort of like or approval? It may not be true for everyone, but it's at least true for some, I would say. Think about that, and I'll talk to you next time.